Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Really happy to have you along today as we spend some time talking about our trees, the trees of Wisconsin. We've got a great guest who's going to be with us in a little bit. His name is Christopher Earle, an ecologist, specializes in forest ecology and conifer biology, co-author of this wonderful new field guide we're going to be talking about, too. It's called Trees of Eastern North America. So we're certainly looking forward to hearing from him and find out what he's got to say about trees. And, of course, answer your questions as well. And I hope you'll be joining in at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. That would be the number to call for you to join in. He'll be with us in just a few minutes. I wanted to bring in one of the great tree experts of Wisconsin Public Radio, Cynthia Schuster, who is here because it's our membership drive on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support, of course, is vital to all the programs on WPR, and that's why we're here to ask you for your gift right now as 2014 comes to an end. And we look forward to starting 2015 strong, so I hope you'll make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Cynthia Schuster, how are we doing? Are we hearing from people?
Yes, we are. It's been fantastic. Last hour, we heard from 25 people, and we hope to hear from 25 more in the next hour as well. Thank you to everyone who's pledged so far.
And we've got a kind of a good deal coming up for you this hour. I love it. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,400. That's a lot. This generous match is part of an anonymous donor's gift, as well as a gift from the Robert Zock family from Stevens Point. And it means that they'll match every dollar you give. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And when you pledge, you'll be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can donate any amount during the year-end membership drive, and you could tour Washington, D.C., or experience the rich culture and food of France, or see Alaska's beautiful scenery.
Oh, that's, you know, I guess I'm not eligible for that one. Too bad.
Your time will come, Larry.
My time will come. But your time is here already, so get your pledge in there right now. Donate. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Some of our regular guests are Sandy Sawchuck. She helps us with our pets. Scott Craven, who's happy to speculate on the wildlife sightings that you see in your neighborhood. The weather guy, Steve Ackerman and John Martin. And the bird guy, Bill Volkert.
Bill's on an around-the-world tour.
Wow.
I can't wait for him to come back and tell us about the bird sightings that he's seen. It's going to be wonderful. They cover topics near and dear to your heart. I'm pretty sure of that. They give you advice and ideas. And because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests, I hope you'll support the programs with your dollars. And it's easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552.
Now, we have an option for you. Rather than getting a book or a CD as a thank you gift, you can do something different this drive. You can select a food for 40 as your thank you gift. When you give $10 a month or more, we'll pass on what we've normally spent on a book or a CD, and we'll give it to a Wisconsin food bank in your region. Your gift will be enough to feed 40 people. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking for it right now. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Your monthly subscription for your cell phone and Netflix, you have those as part of your budget. Now we're asking you to make WPR part of your budget as well. You can support WPR by becoming a sustaining member. The difference here is that you decide how much your listening is worth to you. You support the programs that are a part of your day. Become a WPR sustainer when you choose a monthly gift amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we all value the beautiful environment we enjoy here in Wisconsin. We've got the parks, the forests and rivers, you know, some of the best things about living here.
Mm-hmm. And we like to think that WPR is a natural resource that you that enriches your life here in Wisconsin as well, something that's fundamental to living here. With your pledge, you keep WPR a strong resource that everyone can enjoy. So please contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I think Cynthia Schuster right here is a very valuable natural resource for the whole state of Wisconsin. Great to have
You're
her
very
here.
Very sweet, but Larry, they're here to hear you.
Well, I don't know about that. I tell you what, they're listening, though, and if you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we're listener-supported. Well, of course we are. The single largest piece of our budget comes from listeners like you, or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you like what you heard. That's another possibility.
Yeah, and but you know what? You're still listening all these months or years later. So how about a donation now? Your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount you choose will make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Once in a while, now this doesn't happen to me very often, but once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And I feel that way when I give to WPR. WPR is one place where that's true every single day. I hope you'll consider a gift of maybe it's $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
And you know what? It's hard to buy much for $2 a day. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day creates a lot of learning, a lot of music, a lot of news. Think about what your life would be like without it. Is that worth $2 a day to you? Maybe more? That works out to about $60 a month. So you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the dollar-for-dollar match is still, oh yeah, we've got a long way to go to reach that dollar-for-dollar match at WPR.org. That's the place to give, or at 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far. We have a $2,400 match. I hope you'll help us out here.
888-202-2552 is the number to call if you're near your computer, WPR.org. And this pledge drive, you have a chance to do two good things at once. When you pledge, you can ask for the Food for 40 thank you gift. That's when you give a gift of $120 or more. That's $10 a month or more. With this gift, you'll be providing foods to those facing hunger in your area. It's a great way to give something extra this holiday season with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your support is crucial as we head into 2015, so I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Cynthia, you'll come back and be with us again.
I will be
you?
Back.
I hope you'll come back. Valuable resources we can't do without. And one of them, Cynthia Schuster. And another, the great guest that we have here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And I'm really pleased to have the chance to talk about trees today. I was on the Dane County Tree Board for many years and served in that capacity. And I really enjoyed it because my role as a board member was to help support our county's trees, the forest land, as well as the trees that exist in our cities and villages. And so that's been a great thing for me, and I really enjoyed doing it. And that's one of the reasons I was happy to have Christopher Earle come by. Chris is an ecologist, specializes in forest ecology and conifer biology. He's the co-author of Trees of Eastern North America. He's a senior ecologist with Ecosystem Biometrics Group, ICF International. It's great to have him with us and I'm certainly know that he is going to be happy to answer your questions when you call in. And let me give you the number to call. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Is there a tree that you're curious about? Chris can probably help tell you about it. And Christopher Earle, thank you for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
I really, really enjoying looking through your book. It's over 700 pages, and with some wonderful illustrations of the trees. This is a monumental effort. Whoever talked you into doing something like this?
Well, actually, the idea was initiated by the folks at Princeton University Press. I haven't been that many new tree books that have come on the market for quite a while, and most of them tend to be really focused on tree identification, which is, of course, important, but doesn't do much to inspire interest in trees. And we wanted to produce a guide that would be visually beautiful and that would also actually tell you something useful and informative about each of the trees.
Well, you've certainly done that. And you know what I did? I thought, you know, I'm looking through it. It's this beautiful four-color, obviously, full color of the trees. So I went to the trees that I know well. I went to the trees that I know really well. And I thought, all right, I want to see how good a job they did on these trees that I know really well. I know the bark well. I know the seed. I know the fruit. I know the leaves. And man, you're spot on with those illustrations.
Yeah, well, we've got a pretty good technical staff. You know, I and my co-authors. Knowing the biology of the trees was not really a problem, but there was also expert review that went into this. And we spent a lot of time on the illustrations. You know, David Moore did several thousand paintings that appear in these books. There's a companion volume also that covers the trees of Western North America. Between the two of them, there's about 1,400 species listed. So there is a huge amount of information in there, and we try to make it easily accessible and visual as much as possible.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. I'm really taken with it. And, you know, we have callers online who want to visit with you. Let's just take a call. Kathy in Denmark, Wisconsin, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm so glad you had this on. In November, I went down to Madison for my son's housewarming party. They bought a house in an older neighborhood in Madison, and they had this humongous tree in their backyard that I've never seen before. And I said, "What is that tree?" And they said, "A sycamore."
Ha!
And am I too far north in Denmark to plant one?
Yeah, Denmark is. Let's see, what's your zone there?
I think it's 4. I live just south of Green Bay.
Yeah, I think that's 4, yeah. Well, Christopher Earle, what do you think?
Well, offhand, I don't know the zone tolerances of sycamore. You know, that information is readily available on the web. That is pretty darn cold for sycamore. There are a variety of species, and I don't believe that the ones that are native in the United States are likely to make it there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. We'd see some sycamore. I have never seen one.
Well,
and, of course, people are going to call now and say, well, of course, we have a sycamore growing in Dane County. But
yeah, and it's huge. I mean, just huge. This tree is, I don't know how many people you'd have, maybe 3 people to hug it.
Oh, you know? Boy. Well, that sounds like a beautiful, you know, did you take a photo of it?
No, because we got there kind of like almost nighttime, and I should have taken one in the morning, but it's got really strange bark, and that's what I noticed, is this odd bark on this tree. What is that tree?
Oh, and, well, if you had a photo, I would highly encourage you to post it on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, but I'm pretty sure, I'm sure Christopher's right here. I don't think we're going to get one in Green Bay, unfortunately. Thanks for calling, though. Appreciate your call. And by the way, you can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. A lot of us are enjoying, you know, getting out in nature and seeing what we can spot. I think a lot of times people think about spotting birds or mammals and other wildlife, but like our last caller, determining a tree can be a lot of fun, too, or what species of tree we're dealing with. What do you zero in on when you want to identify a tree?
Well, now that it's December, of course, and nearly all the trees don't have any leaves, we can pretty much leave that off the list. Although normally leaves are a great place to start. They have, huge variability, very different shapes and colors and sizes. winter twigs can actually be quite helpful in diagnosing what sort of a tree you're looking at. And particularly, again, in the wintertime, but at any time of the year, it's helpful to find the seeds and the fruits of the tree because, you know, trees are organized into families, as are all living things, and many of the families are very large. For instance, there are several hundred species in the oak family in the United States. If you can identify a tree to family, which you can usually do by looking at its seeds or its fruits, then that gets you a lot closer to where you have to be in the book to identify the tree specifically. And bark, overall shape of the tree, and as I mentioned, leaves are all going to be very important in that process.
There we go. Dan in Green Bay has something for us. Dan, hi, thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, hi. What's on your mind, Dan?
We're talking about sycamore trees?
Well, we were earlier, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I grew up in Madison, and there were a number of sycamore trees there, and also now in Green Bay. I have seen a few.
You have?
So they will grow here. You don't see too many of them, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know you don't see too many of them. What did I just get done saying here 2 minutes ago, Christopher? I said, as soon as I say there are no, you're not going to get one to grow in Green Bay, someone will call. And here's Dan, just to prove me wrong. but actually, that's good news, too. Nice to have that news as well. Thanks, Dan, for calling. Appreciate it. Nancy in Menominee Falls, let's go to you next. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. I'm calling because I found a little oak growing in my tree row that separates my yard from the people in back of us. We live in a subdivision, and I want to keep this thing going for 100 years. It's grown a lot since I first found it 4 years ago. It probably has grown 4 feet. And
so it's about 4 feet high now?
No, it's about 8 feet high now.
About eight, okay.
Yeah, I could tell that it was a little tree because the leaves were huge. And I was wondering, why are these huge oak leaves growing from this short stem? Well, it was a new tree. So how can I keep this thing going? What should I clear all the trees that are around it so it gets a lot of light? Or does it need, like, semi-light, you know, light shade so that it continues to grow upward, or what do I do for it?
Okay. Nearly all oaks are actually capable of growing in the shade of other trees and understory environment, but they almost all would prefer to grow in full sun, okay?
Okay.
Just because a tree's habitat may allow it to grow in flooded places or in places with bad soils doesn't mean that's what's necessarily best for it. Nearly all oaks will enjoy full sunlight, a well-aerated soil, sufficient amount of fertilizer, you know, not excessive, but enough so that the tree can take it up, and a regular supply of water.
Okay. Well, most of the trees around it are hawthorns, which I can take down any time. They're not very, they're kind of weedy looking and not don't really offer much to the oak, so...
Okay. Now, just knowing that it's got big leaves, I'm afraid I can't tell you what species of oak it is, although oaks usually don't travel too far, so it's the acorn, as they say, doesn't fall far from the tree, and you can probably find another tree of the same species within 100 yards or so.
Are the leaves pointed, kind of, or are they kind of rounded?
I don't really remember, but I know that's how you can kind of identify.
Yeah, if they're pointed, it's likely a red oak for this area. And if they're rounded, obviously a white or maybe a bur oak.
And the leaves did stay on quite long into the fall.
Mm-hmm. But once you know what species it is, you should probably do some reading on how well it works as a horticultural species. You know, you want to be sure that it's not something that's going to start dropping large limbs on top of your house or be a high risk of wind throw or be subject to one of the various tree diseases that are becoming ever more common these days.
Yeah. Kind of hoping it's a white oak. it'll be less likely to have oak wilt disease, which is certainly a problem in this area of the world.
Now, when I find little oaks that are about a foot high growing in my yard or in the parts of my garden, those can be transplanted, or, I mean, sometimes they're growing where you don't want them to grow. you know, like in the middle of your garden. But what's the best way to handle those if you want to keep them?
Okay. What do you think, Christopher?
Generally, they are fairly easy to transplant up to maybe 2 or 3 feet in height. After that, the root ball starts getting unwieldy. Of course, you can often, with good conditions, you can often grow a tree from an acorn to 2 or 3 feet in height in 1 year. So there's also a question of whether it's actually worth the trouble of transplanting it. But small trees, fairly easy to transplant. Once you start getting past about 4 feet tall, it's a good idea to consult an expert because there may be some technical problems, and it may be a fairly challenging effort.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go, Nancy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Christopher Earle, who is co-author of the wonderful tree guide. It's called Trees of Eastern North America, over 700 pages. And when we say Eastern North America, that includes the state of Wisconsin. We want to make sure that you understand that as well. Tom in Douglas County up next with a question. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Great.
I'm up north, here north, and I need a question answered. Since my teenage years, I've heard of bombygillion trees. Hemingway wrote about bombygillion. There's a salve supposedly made of bombygillion. I've been a hunter-trapper my whole life, lived in the woods, cut firewood. I need to know. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Bombygillion. Well, you got me.
Hey, you got me, too. I've never heard of a bombygillion before.
I have a bombygillion. Well, that's got to be sort of a localized name for a particular tree, I'll bet. Judith might have time to look it up. Otherwise, somebody in northern Wisconsin is going to call and say, I know what that is. I've got one in my lawn or whatever, and give us a little bit of help because I honestly don't know.
Well, actually, I did just look it up, and it turns out that it's a variant of the name Balm of Gilead tree, and it's the balsam poplar.
Oh, yeah, there's only about a billion of those in northern Wisconsin.
So it's a very common tree with very many names.
All right. And so, well, as long as we're at it, can you give us a little bit of the characteristics?
Well, the balsam poplar? Well,
yeah.
It's in the same family as cottonwood, so it has dark green, sort of pointed oval leaves. They can be quite large, you know, up to 7 or 8 inches long. And the tree can grow to very large sizes.
Interesting bark?
Yeah, reasonably interesting bark. Looks kind of like concrete, really.
Yeah. I know. That's why I think it's interesting.
That same color of gray and deeply furrowed, longitudinal, not a good tree to plant near your house. This is one that has a bad habit of dropping leaves and just sort of decaying in place when it gets to be about 100 years old. So they're kind of dangerous to live near.
And then it falls over on your house
after
about 100 years.
Yes, and make terrible firewood, by the way.
And terrible firewood. Okay.
Yes.
All right, there we go. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's go to Jerry in Neillsville next. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Larry. Just wanted to call and make a comment about a lady trying to grow a sycamore in Green Bay.
Yeah.
She should have trouble growing one there. There's actually a really good-sized sycamore growing in Wisconsin Rapids, which is in central Wisconsin, and I live in Neillsville, which is west of Wisconsin Rapids. I planted a sycamore about 7 years ago, and right now it's about 25 feet tall.
So. Oh, wonderful.
So I think the only thing I would be careful of if I was her is find a seed source that isn't from the south. You know, try to get something from possibly Pennsylvania. I think that's where I got mine.
Okay.
So it'd be a similar zone, but they'll grow.
Thank you, Jerry, for calling. I appreciate the call. And, you know, he raises a really good point, Christopher, about, you know, where you get your seeds from.
That's true. Actually, I've looked up the range of sycamore just now, and Green Bay, in fact, most of Wisconsin outside of the Madison area is well outside the range of the sycamore. The sycamore extends down all the way to New Orleans and some parts of Florida. So it has a vast range, and no doubt trees from within that range have very different climate tolerances. So if you're going to be planting a native species like sycamore, it helps a lot if it's a locally available seed stock.
You know, one of the kind of the fun things about this program is you never know what's going to be highlighted. Now, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the show, we're going to spend a fair amount of time talking about sycamores, I said, well, you're nuts. We're not going to talk about sycamores. And here we are. That's probably about the fourth comment relating to sycamores. That's pretty cool. And it's always interesting to me. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer, as we visit with Christopher Earle, co-author of Trees of Eastern North America. Let's go to Irene in Madison next. Irene, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, I received a sapling in May of a Magnolia grandiflora, and my husband and I have done some research and don't quite know whether we should or shouldn't cover it, bury it in straw, put styrofoam over it, leave it open. We get mixed information on the internet, so I thought I'd call in and find out what to do for this little guy.
All right. Well, we certainly have magnolia trees growing in Madison. No doubt about that. There are quite a few of them, Christopher.
And you're way outside the range of it. So an interesting thing that I should mention that applies to the sycamore, the magnolia, and in fact a lot of trees, is that many trees aren't found growing in a particular area because their seedlings won't make it. Their native range is typically limited by the characteristics of the seedling, which is the most sensitive and vulnerable life stage of the tree.
Okay.
So the magnolia, we know that they will grow in Wisconsin. The greatest risk to them in the winter would probably be frost effects on the roots. And so mulch would help to reduce the risk of that.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay. All right. And not have to cover the trunk or the leaves. It's tiny. It's maybe under 3 feet. It's 2.5 feet tall.
If it's that small, it wouldn't be a bad idea to wrap the tree in burlap in the winter, at least for the first few winters until it starts being impractical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, climate change might help save you, too.
One of the issues that we've got around here, too, is you put a lot of mulch around the tree, you're going to wind up, a lot of times they wind up getting girdled.
Yes.
Because of the little rascals that we have running around on our lawns and areas. So if you're going to do it, I guess I wouldn't mulch it until I had a good freeze down, and those little devils were gone and off somewhere else.
Okay.
And actually, if it's in a site that tends to have decent snow cover for most of the winter,
yeah,
yes,
mulch probably wouldn't be important.
Yeah.
Okay.
6 inches or a foot of snow is enough to keep temperatures at the ground surface fairly moderate.
Yeah.
Okay, but still wrap it in burlap and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good advice. One that small.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for calling. I really appreciate your call. Talking with Christopher Earle today, ecologist whose specialties include forest ecology and conifer biology. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Having a great time talking with our guest today, Christopher Earle, about trees and about his book that he co-authored, Trees of Eastern North America. And another person I always enjoy talking with is Cynthia Schuster, who knows her trees. And she knows her business when it comes to raising money, too. And here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. And our single largest source of funding comes from you or people just like you. That means listener support. And this season of giving is so, so important. So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Cynthia, how are are we doing with our dollar-for-dollar match?
We are getting there. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,400 in effect right now. We have about $1,400, so it's within reach, and with your help, we can make it. It's a great time to pledge because a pair of anonymous donors and the Robert Zock family from Stevens Point will double every dollar that you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And here's another reason to give.
Yes, when you donate any amount, you are entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You'll get to choose. You could go to Washington, D.C. with Michael Leland, or you could enjoy a trip to France with Judith, or you could explore Alaska with Joy. Wow, double your gift. Of course, you could go to all those if you wanted to pay for all of them. You could go to all three. But if you want to win one for free, one way to do it is to donate right now and get entered to that drawing. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A woman had won a trip. She chose the Alaska trip after our fall membership drive, and she was so excited to win. She says, I never won anything in my life. So you could be the next winner, and you can pick that dream vacation, and you'll have wonderful company hosting you along the way. You've been enjoying this conversation today with Chris Earle as well about his new field guide to trees in Wisconsin and the eastern United States. This program is an example of the interesting and informative conversations that we have on this program.
So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this program and the many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org, or you can phone us at 888-202-2552.
Make yourself feel extra good when you donate to WPR this pledge drive by choosing the Food for 40 as your thank you gift. That's when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And 40 meals will be provided to people in need throughout the area at your area food banks.
And I like the fact that it's the area of where you live when you donate that goes to the food bank in your area, which is really cool. I hope you're enjoying listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and in part because we're commercial free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and corporate funding certainly are very important.
But the single largest piece of our budget pie comes from you. Your support makes a difference. It's the backbone of our funding. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, I'd like a half-calf small mocha, soy milk, no whipped cream.
Sure, we'll get that for you right away. I see you're doing a search on your phone there. I'm curious, don't you think searching on the web is basically consuming information? But when we actually read a book, we're seeking knowledge?
What?
I mean, modern information theory, what the early computer scientists used when they invented the computer. It just stripped meaning out of everything, you know? Facts are nice, but ideas have real meaning.
Sure. Is that mocha ready yet?
Yeah, just a second. But we have time for one more question. Do you think science and poetry are related?
No.
Really? Not at all? Don't you want a bit of poetry in your own life?
Nope. Just my coffee.
Yes, Steve Paulson could be a barista. But isn't it better that he's on to the best of our knowledge? Your support makes WPR programs possible and gives you something to talk about over coffee. Give now. Here's someone to tell you how.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Cynthia Schuster asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this year-end membership drive. And whether your pledge is $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we certainly count on your gift.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you that it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It's a great buzz you feel when you know you're a part of making something special happen.
So help make great radio happen with your first ever gift, maybe, of, say, $5 a month, and enjoy that buzz. It starts with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Give the amount that's right for you, and if you need some help figuring that out, well, consider this. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. If you paid a dime for each of those things, that would work out to about $10 a month. Make that contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. In fact, we got about $1,000 or roughly to go yet. So if you when you give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, you can sit back and relax because you've been automatically entered.
So this is it. If you haven't done it yet, now is the time to do it. Your support is critical to our operation. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org and call 888-202-2552 as well. If you'd like to do it that way, that would be just fine. We're visiting with Christopher Earle. I know Cynthia's going to be back later and we'll talk some more with her. But right now, if you have a question for Christopher Earle, who is co-author of Trees of Northern, I'm sorry, of Eastern North America, please join in at 800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. By the way, Chris, how have the sales been going? I mean, the book is just out, so probably it hasn't taken the book market by storm yet.
No, it's not on the bestseller list yet, but it's going reasonably well. You know, I don't really know what the benchmark for comparison is. You know, what would constitute great and what constitutes average? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure either. I'm sure that it's a book that a lot of people are going to enjoy having, and it's one you're going to be able to keep for a long, long time. And just for those who are tuning in fresh here, tell us how you've got 700 pages here on the trees of Eastern North America. How is it organized?
Well, the book's broken up into several sections. There's an introductory section that tells you how the book works and also provides a pretty thorough background on tree biology, how to identify trees, what their ecology is, how they're classified, things like that. Then the rest of the book is broken up basically according to the types of trees. The major types are the gymnosperms, which is a fancy word for conifers. The angiosperms, which is a fancy word for flowering plants, are the two major groups. And then within each of those, it's organized by the families of trees, so that trees that are closely related to each other are put together within the guide. And there are also various keys, which are mostly visual keys, using things like the shape of leaves or the appearance of the bark to help you get fairly quickly to an identification of each tree.
And you're a conifer guy. How'd you become a conifer guy?
Well, I don't know. I like conifers. I mean, even when I was a little kid, I liked conifers, partly because I started off, of course, liking really big trees, and also I think a lot of the most picturesque trees are like the conifers that live in the high mountains of Western North America.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of other people feel that way as well. And because I was an ecologist, I got more interested in the scientific side of it. Also, I was interested because there aren't very many conifers. There's only about 650 species of them in the whole world, and yet they're one of the most dominant plant groups on the planet, almost as successful as far as the number of square miles that they cover as the flowering trees. And so I was interested in, as an ecologist, to see how that worked, how these living dinosaurs, so to speak, these ancient species, were still successful in the modern world.
And of all the conifers, is there one that, that's the one that of all of them, that's the one I really like the most?
Well, I don't have one single super favorite tree, although I know a lot of people that do. But there's a fairly small number that are sort of the superstars. You know, they're the bristlecone pines that live to be 5,000 years old, and there are the sequoias that are the largest and tallest trees in the world.
Yeah.
You know, these are pretty attractive trees. Certainly to visit an old grove of bristlecone pines or walk through a redwood forest is a spiritual experience for almost anyone.
Yeah.
These trees make a very great impression on people when you're with them.
I second that motion. Yeah, that's wonderful. Charlie in Appleton has a question. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for having me. My wife and I did a San Francisco trip this year out to, you know, that area, and we did the Muir Woods tour, which was awesome, and we bought a little giant sequoia, and it's about a foot tall, And basically, I kept it in a pot all summer in my backyard, and it's in the house now. And I'm just wondering, you know, when and if I should plant that in my backyard.
Oh, what do you think, Chris?
I don't know that giant sequoias make it in Wisconsin. That's pretty tough for them out there. They don't have great tolerance. Now, you say Muir Woods, and then you said a giant sequoia. Now, Muir Woods is redwood country. The giant sequoias live up in the high country, the Sierra Nevada. They live in an area that has fairly low temperatures and snow on the ground 6 months of the year. Giant sequoias might make it in Wisconsin. Do you have them in Madison?
I do not recall ever seeing one, but somebody's going to call and say, oh, yeah, we have all kinds of them on our lawn, but I honestly don't think so.
And a redwood tree is definitely not going to make it anywhere.
No, no, that's for sure.
It's a giant sequoia. Yeah, I apologize.
You know what? Like any good gardener or like any good environmental person that's an interest in the environment, you've got the tree. You could plant it and see what happens.
Another possibility is you could try turning it into a bonsai. And
They
are, both redwoods and sequoias are sometimes used as bonsai subjects, although it's possible for them to grow truly enormous if you keep trimming them back, and particularly if you keep them with a baby-sized root system, they will grow very slowly.
Yeah, so that's another way to look at it, Charlie, and you might go online and take a look at that process. It'd be kind of interesting. Thanks for calling. Appreciate the call. And Mary and Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, yeah. With deciduous trees, they have, a lot of cell walls, the buds now, and I guess they have some sort of antifreeze. But with the evergreens, I assume, there's no snow cover, and I don't know about the ground. Are they taking in water, and how do they look so nice in the winter? And is resin kind of like antifreeze?
Well, the real variable there is whether the ground actually freezes. In places that have a deep and persistent snow cover, the ground usually never actually freezes. For instance, I live in the Cascade Mountains in the western U.S., and although we have snow on the ground for 8 months of the year, the trees are actually active in photosynthesizing throughout that whole time because their root systems don't freeze. In places where the ground does freeze, the tree shuts down completely, and there's no metabolic activity during the winter time until the spring comes and the soil starts to thaw out and the tree can become active again.
Yeah, and so it's really key or critical. Let's say you've got one on your back lawn or your front lawn, to make sure that those trees go into the winter with a good supply of water. So we say we like to water right up to freezing, to ground freeze up.
How about resin?
Resin. What's the role of resin, Christopher?
Well, okay, trees vary quite a lot in their adaptation to low temperatures, and resin is one of the things that helps them do it. Resin helps them at moderate temperatures, say temperatures down to 0 degrees Fahrenheit or maybe 10 or 15 degrees below zero. At even lower temperatures, they have other metabolic secrets that they use, such as forcing the water out of the cell wall and actually allowing the water to freeze outside the cell instead of inside the cell so that the cell doesn't break. And the trees that can tolerate the very lowest temperatures, which means anything lower than minus 40 degrees, mostly rely on these other mechanisms to provide them with their tolerance. And they can tolerate almost unbelievable temperatures, like Engelmann spruce. You can dip its branch in liquid nitrogen, and after it thaws out, it'll be alive again.
Very interesting. Thank you very much for calling, Mary. Appreciate your call. And let's give Jed in La Crosse a chance. Hi, Jed. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
My question was it's kind of related to buckthorn and kind of the role you see buckthorn playing in forest diversity and, going in the next 50 years out looking at.
Yeah, looking at it, it's a very good question, Jed, and I'm interested to hear what Chris has got to say about invasive tree species and how they can impact tree diversity.
Well, I can't really speak to the question of buckthorn specifically because I'm not familiar with a place where that's an invasive species.
Oh, it's a big invasive here.
Yeah, I will note that that the book doesn't really have ornamental trees, but we did include all the naturalized trees, which are the trees that are able to live and reproduce on their own without human help, even though they aren't natives. And, of course, that includes all the invasive species. And the details of how destructive an invasive species is really varies a lot from site to site. It depends on what it's competing with, on how well it's adapted. And one of the things that's very important in invasive species is usually the species comes over, but its pests don't come over. And so it's not suffering the types of competition with parasites and pests and herbivores and so forth that that the native species it's competing with are suffering. And frequently finding a way to find a biological control of that kind, to find a bug that eats it or a disease that it supports is the key to controlling these invasive species.
Chris Earle, our guest today. Christopher Earle is the co-author of Trees of Eastern North America. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Here's a look at what's coming up this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. At 12:30 on Chapter a Day, Jim Fleming reads from Bread and Butter by Michelle Wilgen. Then stay with us from 1 until 3 for The Kathleen Dunn Show. After 1, a look at the worker pay squeeze and what to do about it. After 2, a preview of a new exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum of Heaven and Earth, 500 Years of Italian Painting. That's after 2.
On Central Time, we keep you up to date on the latest news.
When news got going, the promise was if you inform the citizenry, then people will be able to make the right decisions and the world will flourish.
Back in October when the government shut down, there were sexually transmitted diseases that had a better approval rating than Congress, literally.
We talk with newsmakers, experts, and reporters and ask you to weigh in.
It's Central Time, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin Medical Society, committed to improving the health of Wisconsin citizens by supporting and strengthening physicians' ability to practice high-quality patient care in a changing environment. Information at wisconsinmedicalsociety.org. Support also comes from Baraboo Woodworks of Madison, producing fine custom furniture, wooden crafts, and character woods from local sources for the home or office. Baraboo Woodworks is committed to making beautiful things with local wood. BaraboOwoodworks.com.
Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking trees today with Christopher Earle, co-author of Trees of Eastern North America. And I tell you what, we were talking about conifers, and somebody asked about resin. And here's a gal who resonates with me, Cynthia Schuster. And we're here in the year-end membership drive. You know, she told me the other day, she said, don't talk through a screen door. You'll strain your voice. And I, that's good information to have. You may never have thought of that before. It's one of the many things that you learn on your radio station. We're listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio right here. And right now, during this drive, it's your chance to make sure that we start 2015 in good shape. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we're doing pretty darn good, aren't we, Cynthia?
We are. In fact, we have met and exceeded that dollar-for-dollar match. So thank you to everybody who has contributed to that goal. Thank you to the anonymous donors and to the Robert Zock family from Stevens Point who helped to match those donations. But, you know, don't stop now. Keep those donations coming. We would love to hear from as many of you as possible this hour at 888-202-2552, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
And here's another great reason to give. You pledge any amount and you are automatically entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a trip to Washington, D.C., or a getaway to France, or an Alaskan adventure. double the impact of your plant. Well, actually, you can't double the impact anymore because we've already met that goal. But I tell you what,
it's doubled in our hearts.
It's double in my heart, and also you're entered into our drawing. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network is with you all day long. Whether you ride with us to work or you run errands with us or cook dinner with us, you get interesting discussions whenever you want them. We are always here, and you make that possible with your donation. Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be that way without your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's one of the coolest things I think that we've done, and that is to choose you can choose a Food for 40 as your thank you gift when you give $120 or more. It's 10 bucks a month or more. That thank you gift will provide 40 meals to people facing hunger in your region. So ask for Food for 40 when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I think he's right. I think you're going to enjoy being a sustainer or maybe a pledger at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Cynthia Schuster, and we are asking for your support of WPR during this year-end membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Maybe you can make a 9XM leadership contribution of $100 a month or more. Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for the station. And 9XM members are an important part of that picture.
Help us stay strong and continue to grow with a leadership gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day. You know how important it is to you. Now consider that you want it to be there for the next generation.
You want them to have the same quality news and information and music and entertainment that has nourished you. Your pledge of support today, that's the building block for a stable future.
Invest in quality radio for yourself and for the next generation. Coming up, make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to thank everyone who has contributed so far. We're having a wonderful drive. We're still obviously short of our goals. And you know what? We make them with your help. So right now, I hope you will go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 with your gift. We'll be back after the news. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm Larry Mueller, taking a look at trees today. Certainly, obviously, one of the most important parts of our landscape here in Wisconsin and elsewhere. And we're really fortunate to have as a guest our guest today, Christopher Earle. He's an ecologist, specializes in forest ecology, loves conifers, and conifer biology is his area, and is co-author of Trees of Eastern North America. It's a wonderful new field guide. It's from Princeton University Press, and we've had a long relationship with Princeton University Press for a lot of our bird books, our tree books, insect books, and this is a wonderful new book from Princeton that I would like to just keep in my own house, as a matter of fact, to have or in the car. Probably in the car would be a better place for it, wouldn't it, Chris Earle?
Yeah, I would think so. It's a great book to take traveling because it does cover such a large area. And, of course, you're more likely to be exposed to trees you've never seen before when you go on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it would fit in the car, even though it's 700 pages, it's more of a compact, I would say. It's about the size, I mean, in terms of width and length of a hardcover, a typical novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little on the big side for a field guide, but actually, although people tend to notice that before they buy it, after they buy it, mostly they talk about how they like the pretty pictures in the text.
Yeah, I can believe that. Art in Eau Claire has a question for you. And by the way, before we get to Art, you can join in too if you have a question or comment about trees. I hope you'll visit us at 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Art in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry and Chris. Thanks for taking my call. I've seen a tree around like Eau Claire and Chippewa. I think it's called a catalpa tree. It has large leaves that are shaped like a spade on the ace of spades card.
Yep.
And in the spring, it gets a big white flower. In the fall, it has a seed pod that I'm sure drops to the ground, which I was wondering if that was, if you knew if it was poisonous to dogs. And if you're familiar with the tree, I'd like to plant one unless, you know, the seed pods are dangerous to dogs, because my dogs pretty much taste everything they can find.
All right. What do you think, Chris?
Well, Larry, I haven't heard that catalpa is a poisonous species, but it may be. Do you know anything about it?
I don't think so. One of the things you can do. We have a poison control center, and there's a at the poison control center. You can ask those kinds of questions because they have a list of and pretty much know the plants in Wisconsin that are poisonous to humans or animals. So
okay.
I would the University of Wisconsin, Donna Lotzer is the poison control specialist at the UW hospitals and clinics. And if you put poison control, University of Wisconsin hospitals and clinics, Donna Lotzer's name is probably going to pop up. But she'd be somebody to ask for sure. I would never want to say, you know, unequivocally, you know, one way or the other without having somebody without having somebody like Donna give you a good, complete response. So there you go, Art. Good luck. Thank you for calling. David in New Auburn, your turn. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
I have a question for the expert. Several years ago, I forget how many now, there was a real effort to reestablish a new variety of the American chestnut tree. I'd like to know how that's going on, because I think it's one of the most beautiful trees that ever existed in America. And how things are coming along on experiments with reestablishing the American elm.
Good questions both, Chris.
Well, I have to admit it's been a few years since I looked into either of those issues. But at that time, results were still very disappointing in efforts to develop resistant strains of both the American elm and the American chestnut. There are people that are continuing to research that problem. You know, I have high confidence that we'll get it licked at some point. Most other fungal-related diseases, including the phytopthoras that have taken out many of our greatest trees, have had success in developing resistant strains, but I don't think there's been much success on that front yet.
Yeah, especially with the chestnut. I can't think. That chestnut borer is just a... the elm, there is the University of Wisconsin. One of our University of Wisconsin researchers developed an elm that has done very well. Let's put it that way. It may not be completely resistant to Dutch elm disease, but it's done a lot better than most. And I'm trying to think of the name of that particular elm, but it's not coming to mind right now. But at least we've had. You're right. There's there's a ways to go yet, but at least we've had some successes. So there you go. Isn't a chestnut is really a beautiful tree, is it not, Chris?
One of the most beautiful trees that America ever had, except for that gorgeous umbrella from the American elm.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen amazing pictures of chestnuts from the old days, old growth eastern forests with chestnut 8 feet in diameter growing up through them, 150 feet tall. But those were long gone before I came on the scene.
Yeah, and the elms, I was, you know, this I've mentioned this on the show before, but it was such a wonderful surprise for me to the first time I visited Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, which is still reminded me a lot of Madison, Wisconsin, back in the day when the elms ruled Madison, Wisconsin, and every street was lined with elm trees. And that's still the case in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, because I think the beetles have had a problem. Although it's getting there, they're on their way to Saskatchewan, but haven't gotten there yet. And so if you want to see what some of American cities, United States cities, looked like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you can see that in Saskatchewan. Interesting. And David, thanks again for calling. Roger in Little Chute, appreciate your call. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I saw an ad on the internet a couple weeks ago, and they were for young seedlings and whatnot, and the name of this one was a Korean blue cone fir. The picture they had was extraordinary. I'm just wondering if you know anything about it.
Yes, the Korean fir is it's a very pretty fir. It can tolerate very low temperatures. I don't know specifically how it would do in various parts of Wisconsin. You might consult a local nurseryman for advice on that. It's mostly known among tree fanciers because of the beauty of its cones. Very distinctive blue cones with visible bracts. Lovely pictures are available if you want to do a search on the web.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really nice. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've ever seen one in person. Roger,
okay,
thanks.
Go ahead. Very good.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. William in Minocqua, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to ask your guest if we had much of a chance of growing a white fir here in Wisconsin. I had occasion to grow it, three of them at one time, and they all froze out. So I didn't have much luck. I was wondering.
Okay.
If you had any tips.
Well, I don't know for certain that they would grow there. I know that their native habitat takes them to places like high mountains in New Mexico, where snow is on the ground many months of the year, and temperatures drop far below zero, temperatures minus 20, 30, even 40 degrees. So it should be possible to grow them in Wisconsin. They would like a well-drained soil. They would probably have problems with all the summer rainfall that you get there. They don't occur anywhere in their natural range in areas that have substantial southern summer rainfall. So blights and decay in the roots during the growing season and susceptibility to insect pests could all be factors. These are all things that you can minimize by putting them in a very well-drained soil and periodically watering them. They don't really need that much water.
Here we go.
Yeah, I had seen them in Alberta when I was on vacation up in the mountains, and I noticed that they would get a Chinook wind occasionally and warm things up. I was just wondering, our winters up here are very cold, you know, and when it gets cold, it stays cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering if extended periods of cold would hurt them at any.
No, I don't think it's cold. It's more likely soils and growing season wetness would be a problem for them.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, William, for calling. I appreciate your call. You know, our state tree is the sugar maple tree that I really like that tree a lot. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that tree. I'd certainly featured in your book.
Well, I didn't write the part of the book that deals with the sugar maple. So I'm afraid I haven't reviewed the biology in quite quite a long period of time.
All right. Well, then I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to make you talk about the sugar maple then. And instead, I want you to talk. I would like you to talk about one of your favorite conifers that you do know grows here in Wisconsin. There's a lot of them.
Sure. Let's see. One of the topical trees that grows in that area, of course, is the eastern hemlock. And I don't know how well your eastern hemlocks are doing, but Wisconsin is near the northwestern extremity of its range. In the core part of its range, especially farther south, there's an invasive insect called the hemlock woolly adelgid that has been killing vast stretches of hemlocks, including all of the oldest and largest trees that are known. So Wisconsin may be one of the primary refuges of the eastern hemlock in the future, at least until adelgid-resistant trees are developed. And, you know, it's a gorgeous tree. Like other evergreens, and particularly the hemlock, you'll often see it represented in graveyards and on tombstones, for instance, from the 19th century, because of the symbolism of evergreens as representative of eternal life, due to their ability to remain green through the wintertime.
Yeah, and here we are in the holiday season, the Christmas season, and the Christmas tree. What's the best Christmas tree in your mind?
Oh, everybody has an opinion about that. I am very partial to the firs. You know, a well-grown and trimmed fir is a beautiful tree, and it's a great place to display ornaments and lights. They have a branching structure that lends them to that, apart from the natural beauty of the tree.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Vines can also be very attractive if they're properly cared for. You know, just simply sheared, they're not very attractive. But one that's been properly cultured can be a very attractive tree.
And we're going to be there are a lot of them sitting in homes right now, right now here across Wisconsin and across the country for that matter. And, of course, we are one of the big Christmas tree growing states in the nation. Christopher, always a pleasure to talk with you today. I really appreciate it. And the book is a wonderful book, Trees of Eastern North America, the title of Christopher Earle's book. He's the co-author of it. It's from Princeton University Press, and really, really a beautiful and wonderful book. And tell you what, we've got a wonderful and knowledgeable person sitting across from me right now, too, Cynthia Schuster. And she's here to remind you that this is listener-supported radio, and this is our year-end membership drive. And, you know, we just talked about taxes the other day, as a matter of fact, and last-minute donations. That's a good time. If you've been putting off counting, being counted as a WPR member, now's your time to take some action and maybe have a little tax write-off as well. And if you have given, or if you're a sustainer, now's the time to make a special year-end gift. So we'll take a couple minutes to talk about that right now. But donate right now as you listen to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Great response, Cynthia, last hour.
Yes, absolutely. We heard from 44 of you and 23 new members. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio to those 23 new members. Thank you to all 44 of you who pledged last hour. Our goal this hour is to hear from 15 of you.
If you've been enjoying the conversation with Chris Earle about his new field guide and trees in Wisconsin, I hope you have. This program is an example of the interesting and informative conversations that we have on this show.
Now take just a few minutes to make this program and many more programs possible going forward. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to people in need in your region. I hope you'll pledge. If you pledge $10 a month, that's $120 or more, and choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift at WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552, your thank you gift will provide 40 meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you.
Bonjour, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, encouraging you to join me on a trip to France. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive, and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from. But of course, I hope you'll choose France. We'll tour Paris, Normandy, and Brittany in May. We'll sample wine, cheese, and pastries, and we'll walk through beautiful villages steeped in history. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bonne chance et à bientôt.
I hope you'll go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Cynthia Schuster. We're asking for your support of WPR and your gift. It's $10 or $20 a month, let's say. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR. Make a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year or more, and provide an important piece of funding for the programs that we all rely on.
You can make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Have you ever heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend? With our program notes on the website, audio archives, you can pass things along, and maybe you already do.
Yeah, it's a great way to stay connected with others by passing on ideas and stories and information. We help you stay connected with your friends and family and with the world. Your donation keeps this connection going.
So make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I hope you'll help pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for, what, another 11? Yeah, another 11 pledges in the next 5 minutes. That's certainly doable, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm. And when you give, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. A pledge of any amount will get you entered for a chance to enjoy the very best of Washington, D.C., or to visit France, or to explore Alaska.
France would be a good one, Judah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Judah says, what am I? Hey, me. Choose me. Judith Sears Poisson is leading that France trip, as you probably just heard. And I know it should be a lot of fun to go with her. So why not donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know what? New members are so important, because without new members, we wouldn't be able to increase and improve our services as we do every year. When you make your first ever gift right now, it shows that you're willing to stand up and be counted as the next member in our WPR community.
You care enough to listen, so now support your choice for meaningful radio. If you've never given before, make your first gift a $5 a month. It'd be fine, or whatever amount is best for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. Any contribution of any amount makes a difference. Here's some suggested amounts. The same amount, perhaps, that you pay a month for Netflix or for cable.
That'd be a pretty good chunk of money, or it could be anyway. Mm-hmm. How about what you pay for coffee, which, like WPR, is probably something you look forward to every day? Pledge now. You pick the amount. Your pledge makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're stuck on this 11. We need 11 more people to phone in.
Don't sit on your hands. It's time to dial that phone, 888-202-2552. We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $5 a month. Some give $100 or more a month.
Whatever the amount, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment going strong. So give now whatever amount is comfortable for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Down to 10, just 10 more pledges in the next couple of minutes. And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you will also be entered in that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, we've got you covered. You are automatically entered.
And this pledge drive, you have a chance to do two good things at once. Ask for the Food for 40 thank you gift. When you give $120, that's $10 a month or more. And with this gift, we're going to get meals to those facing hunger in your area of Wisconsin or wherever you're calling from. It's a great way to get something extra this holiday season with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, a sustaining membership is convenient for you, and it also provides reliable funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. Set up an ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or a credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's still time for you to be counted here in 2014. Your pledge, right? And it's so important during this year-end drive. I really hope you can contribute, help us meet our goals, but really help these great programs that you've come to rely on going strong into the future. And how do you do it? Well, you go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. You know, really, thank you so much if you've already contributed. It's wonderful. We really appreciate every single dollar we get. If you haven't given, do it right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.